D-Maze, Fingan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you. Ask D-Maze coming up at around 12:30. So if you have questions for Derek, you can get them in now on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com at 615-737-1025. That's coming up at around 12:30. Always learn something new about Derek during Ask D-Mace, like that he has two washers and two dryers at his house.
Mm-hmm. But the one washer and dryer doesn't work.
Still?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
that was weeks ago.
Wow. I know. I don't mind.
Get it together.
I don't mind walking up the steps, putting my clothes in the washer and dryer upstairs. I don't mind that. Give me a little exercise.
So as we're sitting here, we have NHL Network on in the studio. The NHL regular season is actually about to begin with the Buffalo Sabres and New Jersey Devils facing off in Prague.
Oh, so this is the actual start of the season.
These are the first two regulars that they play today and tomorrow, I believe. Just like the Predators did a back-to-back against the San Jose Sharks a couple of seasons ago. Mm-hmm. That's what these teams are doing right now.
Okay.
So the regular season is about to start in the NHL, though it gets fully started next week. And the Predators are about to start their season on Thursday.
I believe they have games Tuesday, right? Tuesday is the first game on home soil, if you will.
I believe that is true. Let me take a look. So on Tuesday.
While you look, yes. Adam, happy opening day to everybody. This is exciting. They're about to drop the puck, and this is the arena that Chris Mason and I got to broadcast from when the Predators played the Sharks. It's the Sabres and the Devils.
It appears that the regular season does indeed start on Tuesday. Three games on Tuesday. Blues at Kraken. Bruins at Panthers, where they will raise their Stanley Cup banner to the rafters. And at 10 o'clock, Eastern time that is, Chicago at Utah, the inaugural game for the Utah Hockey Club, formerly known as the Arizona Coyotes. So three games on Tuesday. The Predators open their season at home on Thursday against the Dallas Stars. All coverage here on 102.5, 106.3. The game, by the way, we heard from our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, yesterday that all of our shows will be live from Bridgestone Arena on Thursday starting at 6 a.m. So Robbie and Joe will get there before anybody else.
An opening day extravaganza.
Yes, all of our programs on Thursday will broadcast live, including ours, from Bridgestone Arena ahead of the Predators' regular season opener against the Dallas Stars.
So you said that who plays the Oilers? You said the Oilers. When is their opening game?
The Panthers. The Florida Panthers' regular season opener is Tuesday at home against the Bruins.
That's a pretty nasty rivalry right there.
They don't. Because the NFL, and I'm only going by the NFL, but the NBA do theirs different, like the matchup of the two defending, like the finals participants. They usually play like right around Christmas Day, somewhere around there. The NFL try to make that their first game of the season or somewhere around there. Hockey doesn't venture down that road as far as.
Not really.
I wonder why not. That would be a game that I'm sure that would have people watching.
I mean, that is going to be a good game. The Bruins and the Panthers have developed quite the rivalry over the past couple of seasons because they've played each other in the playoffs.
Yeah, but who wouldn't like to see the Oilers and the Panthers play the first game of the season again?
It's an interesting thought. Yeah. I guess part of the problem with that, I think they might try it in some cases, but because they're so far apart and they're only going to play twice. Right? And you usually couple it with when one of those teams is on a swing to get a lot of games in that area. You'd have to set it that way. I'm just guessing.
But you see what I'm...
You want drama in those opening matchups. Speaking of drama, on that, there's still no signing. And this is interesting. When our whole summer of UC Soros conversation, Askarov, et cetera, Jeremy Swayman still is not signed. The Bruins have had part of the reason the Bruins have been so good the last couple years is they've had a great goalie tandem, a 1-1A. They traded one, Linus Ullmark, by the way, before Game 7 of the Oilers-Panthers game. It was like just before the game started, they announced, hey, you know, we have a trade. And they're like, wait a minute, this is Game 7. You're not supposed to be doing stuff like that. Who's working? We're supposed to be watching this game. But they traded Linus Ullmark to the Senators. And in theory, that was going to make it easy for them. Well, now we'll sign the other guy. They have reportedly offered $64 million to Jeremy Swayman. Now, Adam, you tell me. That would mean 8 years times eight.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
So they want to pay Jeremy Swayman more than UC Soros will make. Mm-hmm. Now, Jeremy Swayman has never been a starting goalie from a start to a finish of a season. He has been a tandem goalie. He's younger than UC
Soros. But winning goalie, right?
No, he is
no,
not.
No, he didn't. Yeah,
he is
right.
not. Now, he's had playoff success.
Yes.
But Jeremy Swayman has never started more than 43 games in a season. UC Soros is starting 60-plus games
right.
every year.
And I'm not taking anything away from Swayman, but Swayman—
He's a fabulous goalie.
What is his— he played a great first round last year and won, right?
Yes.
And he played very well in the second round where they lost. Has he won any other playoff series? They
that
lost
was
in
his
the first—
only, that was his only playoff series win, I believe.
Okay. He wants to get— he's not happy with that. He wants more than that.
Well, he sees the salary cap going up.
Right. That's a big reason.
Exactly. So he wants more money.
But he's holding— I kind of side with the Bruins here. Like, the Bruins want to pay him more than Soros is making, and he doesn't think that's good enough, even though he's never started more than, what, 43 games, you said?
43 games.
And he's got one playoff series win?
Correct.
You're not going to get it if you don't ask.
He's really good. We're getting close to the regular season here.
Yeah, the Bruins, again, open on Tuesday. We'll see what happens there. We'll see if that creates a deadline. So ahead of the Predators' season opener on Thursday against the Stars, like Willie did with the Titans, I am going to come up with 10 Predators questions. We are going to answer two per show starting today. So we'll get questions 9 and 10 on Thursday at Bridgestone Arena before the home opener. And I want all of you to participate as well on our text line, 615-737-1025. So as I ask these questions, you send in your answers. So let's get started with question number one. We'll keep it simple. Of course, we know a big offseason for the Predators, the marquee signing, Steven Stamkos, a 4-year deal, $32 million total, $8 million per season. How many goals will Steven Stamkos score this season? You have three choices. A, 25 or fewer. B, 26 through 39. Or C, 40 or more. So A, 25 or fewer. B, 26 through 39. And C, 40 or more. Steven Stamkos scored 40 goals last season. He has 7 career 40-goal seasons. So we'll start with Willie. How many goals will Stamkos score this season, A, B, or C?
I think I'm pretty strong in B, it comes to mind here. I think that's a reasonable expectation. I think neither of the guys who scored 40 last year will have to score 40 for this team to be successful in the regular season. I think they can do it by committee. They have enough threats to be able to get the amount of goals they're going to need. So I think 26 to 39 is a pretty good sweet spot to hit. And of course, the other big factor in this is how many games he's going to play. He's been pretty durable the last 3 or 4 years. He has had over the course of – he's been around forever. So there are a couple years where he's had some freak, a broken leg, I think, 1 year. Then he had the famous in the bubble where he had – I forget what the ailment was, but he was trying to fight through it. He only played like two shifts and he scored a huge goal. So – I'm going to go B.
My quick math here says he has missed 5 games over the past 3 seasons.
Yeah, pretty good for a guy his age, but every year is a new year.
So Willie says B. Steven Stamkos will score between 26 and 39 goals. Derek, A, B, or C?
Boy, this is a tough one because after listening to Hal yesterday, coming to a new team, and he's not a spring chicken either. How does his unit find a way to get used to him, not him get used to them? Because they're going to be looking to him to score goals. So they're going to try to find a way. How do we allow him to fit and still be the player he was in Tampa? And because that's the only way we're going to get the best out of him. And I think that's going to take time. I think he's going to be able to go out there and just be himself, but how does those other guys on his line react to them? is it going to take them time to get used to him, figuring out where he likes to be, you know, certain areas of the ice. Trying to get used to him, that may sort of stunt the development with all of them because they're trying to get used to him. So I don't think it'll be another 40-goal season. It'd be great if it was, but I think they got a lot of guys on that team, at least, that can put the puck into the net, and they're not going to look at him solely to be that guy. So I'm with Willie. I think it's be around that 20. I think it's more in between 26 and 30.
I think you're right. I don't think people should be too disappointed if it's closer to the high 20s or hit 30. Think about how rare it has been for the Predators. Here are the 30-goal scorers in the history of the franchise. This is the 26th season, I think, coming up. Forsberg, Duchesne, Arvidsson, Arnott, Korea, Sullivan, Neal, and that's it.
Six guys?
Now, some of those players did it multiple times, correct?
Some of them did it multiple times.
But those are the only players who have reached 30 goals in a season
right.
for the Predators.
If he were to get 31 goals, that would tie him for the seventh most ever.
But do would
so that in your the context you and I both agree, if they're doing this by committee and he is not having to, at this stage of his career, he shouldn't have to carry the team. Like, they're bringing him in to be that solid veteran, and goal scoring is his signature thing, so he does need to score.
Yeah.
So Adam, what all that being said, what do you think?
As I often say, sometimes you will hear, and not in all sports, but in hockey, you'll hear about a player being a one-dimensional player. I would say at this point of his career, Steven Stamkos is a one-dimensional player, but he's pretty dang good at the one dimension. So that it's okay if scoring is really his what he does, which he has done throughout his career.
If you're going to be one-dimensional, you better be great at it.
And he is. He is one of the greatest goal scorers of his generation.
Okay, can I ask the both of you this?
Sure.
Because you guys have followed this team since they got here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the best collection of goal scorers they've had?
The only team to me that compares is the 06-07 team that had, especially if you add Peter Forsberg, who they brought in just for the trade deadline on. When you had and unfortunately guys got hurt and they never really got to see this lineup for an extended period, but you had Peter Forsberg, Paul Kariya, Steve Sullivan, Scott Hartnell, Jason Arnott, David Legwand, Martin Erat. They were – plus a young Shea Weber and Ryan Suter. They had some guys, Kimmo Tiimonen, and that was a very deep roster that could beat you with a lot of different lines. That's the one that comes to mind. And I guess you would have to say the 17-18 team that won the President's Trophy had pretty good depth. But I think if you went player for player, on paper, this team I think would have some more – straight-up goal-scoring threats. Would you agree, Adam?
I would, and the Predators have never had a goal scorer with the pedigree of Steven Stamkos.
Okay.
I mean, right. I know that he
did Forsberg it. Would be the only guy. He would be the best over the years.
Peter Forsberg.
Philip Forsberg.
Okay, Philip Forsberg.
Over the years.
Yes.
But Forsberg is a level below Steven Stamkos
yes.
from a pure goal scorer standpoint.
Yes.
Although Forsberg now has two 40-plus goal seasons in the last three, so he has upped it. The last couple of years.
He has. So I will also go with B. I see Steven Stamkos settling in. I'm going to predict somewhere between 30 and 32. I'm going to keep it around there. I'm wondering, I've mentioned this a couple of times, I'm just wondering if there's a drop-off, particularly at 5-on-5, depending on who his line mates are, because he's not going to be playing with the same quality of line mates that he had in Tampa. So we all say B. We yes. all say between 26 and 39, and you can answer yourselves on our text line, 615-737-1025.
I think the how does he do it 5-on-5 will be a running theme that
yes.
we check on throughout the season.
Absolutely. So we are all in agreement we say B. So here's question number two, and it goes hand-in-hand with Steven Stamkos. The Predators' power play finished 16th in the NHL last season at 21.6%. Will it finish in the top 10 this season? And for context, last season, the Minnesota Wild somehow were 10th on the power play at 22.7%. So not a big gap between 10th and 16th. But the Predators were 16th on the power play last season. considering the collection of talent they now have. We talked about it with Hal Gill yesterday, with Stamkos and Marchessault and Yossi and Forsberg and O'Reilly on that top unit. Will the Predators, yes or no, just simple yes or no, will the Predators finish in the top 10 on the power play this season? Derek, why don't you go first on this one?
Well, they spend all that damn money. They better. I tell you that. Just looking at the names, Forsberg, O'Reilly, Marchessault, excuse me, Yossi, Stamkos, they better. You better be. That's like saying, okay, we're going to put Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry, and who else? LeBron James. And
basically the U.S. men's Olympic basketball
team. So we're going to put those five together, and we're not in the top 10 in scoring. Something's wrong with that.
Those guys are going to be pretty flattered if you're comparing them to that type of like all-time group.
But what I'm saying is that these are guys that can put the puck in the net. This is your first line. This is your first power play unit. This is the unit that you're going to trot out there just about every time. These are 40-goal guys, you know, a few of them. Why shouldn't you be at least a top 10? If you're not in a top 10, there's some problems going on.
So I'm certain you're about to say, yes, the Predators will finish in the top
10. Yes, they will finish in the top 10. They better.
All right. And I'm going to put that, yes, in parentheses, they better.
That's awesome. Set the bar high.
Yes, in quotation marks. Yes, they better. All right, Willie, will the Predators power play finish in the top 10 this season? You don't have to say where in the top 10. Just finish the season one of the top 10 power plays in the NHL.
You know, it's interesting for context. I think 2 years ago, 21-22, when the Predators got into the playoffs and got smoked by the Avalanche, when UC Saros got hurt in the last week of the season, which kind of derailed any chance they had of being competitive in that series, I believe they finished in the top 10 in the power play that year. You can check. And then the following year, there was a big drop-off, and that led to John Hines getting fired. But it, you know, after the season was over.
They were sixth on the power play in 2021-22 during the regular season.
And then the following year, like 26th, something like that?
The following year, they were 27th.
Okay. So you see how it can fluctuate from year to year. Last year, I thought it was fairly effective and finished 16th. Because maybe it seemed so much better than it was the year before when it was 27th. All that being said, I don't think they have to finish in the top 10 to be a solid goal-scoring team that, like, they finished 10th in goals for last year, but their power play was 16th. So I'm going to vote no. I think that's a tall order to be in the top 10. They might. I'm not saying they can't. But I think they can overcome if they have just a decent power play and it's not knock-your-socks-off kind of thing. Just because this thing, these things fluctuate from year to year. You used a good example. The Wild do not conjure up images of a high-powered offense, but they were in the top 10 last year. So I'm going to say no.
The top 10 power plays in the league last year, quickly. Tampa Bay, Carolina, the Rangers, Edmonton, Colorado, Dallas, Toronto, Florida, Detroit, and Minnesota. Those were the top 10 power plays in the NHL. I'm going to side with Willie here. I'm going to say no. I'm wondering if 16th to 10th, we were just, even although we just said the Predators went from what, 6th to 27th?
And then up to 16th.
And up to 16th. I think here.
And when they went from 6th to 27th, they had the same exact guys.
Right.
The same exact players, same exact coaching staff. So that ought to tell you something. And I also think, and Adam, you tell me what you think about this theory, is I do think it's going to take a little time for the new guys to mesh with the guys that have been there.
I am also going to say no. I do think it's going to be better. As I said, 21.6% last season. I could see that maybe going up to 23, something like that. Who's to say? But when I think about the other power plays, you know, Tampa Bay, even without Stamkos, should have a good power play. The Oilers have a fantastic power play.
You could put
them
down in the top five.
The Maple Leafs always seem to have a good power play. So I wonder if they maybe creep up to like 12th from 16th. But I'm going to say no as well. So
they were 16th last year
in
power play.
Correct.
And let's keep in mind that 16th is just a percentage. Mm-hmm. There are some different things that you can look at as how effective
in terms
are
of
you.
Power play percentage, they finished 16th.
Yeah. And so there's if you go on the power play more times, and you score more goals, your percentage could be a little lower, but you still have a lot of power play goals. That's one thing to look at. And it's also, Hal Gill says this every year. I think it's a good thing to remember. It's also the timeliness of the power play goals. Do you have this feeling that when you go on the power play, the other team cringes a little bit, go, uh-oh, here comes the Nashville power play. And they score big goals at key times. I think last year at 16, I think they had great stretches where they were getting the key power play goal at the key time. They did not get it when? In the playoff series.
Two for 22, if I'm not mistaken.
That's where they didn't get it.
How many of those teams that were in the top 10 in power play?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it, power play percentage based on right. power play goals. But how many of those teams were playoff teams?
Tampa was. Carolina was. The Rangers were. The Oilers were. The Avalanche were. The Stars were. The Maple Leafs were. The Panthers were. The Red Wings were not. And the Wild were not.
So you got eight out of the ten
yes.
were playoff teams. Yeah, you better be in the top 10.
All right.
Because to me, that what that signifies to me, now we can go 10, you know, 11 to 15, and I'm sure there are probably, 11 to 20. There are probably, three or four more teams that made the playoffs.
Let's take a look. 11th was Vancouver. Obviously, they made the playoffs.
Okay.
12th was Los Angeles. They made the playoffs. The mm-hmm. Devils were 13th. They did not make the playoffs.
Okay.
The Bruins were 14th. They made the playoffs. The Coyotes were 15th. They did not make the playoffs.
Okay. So you got three
but generally
out
speaking,
of the two. If yeah. you're in the top 10, that should almost guarantee you a playoff spot. So to me, you need to be in the top 10 if you want to guarantee yourself a playoff spot. That's all. That's why I'm saying it.
So here is what we have so far, and I want to hear your answers as well on our text line, 615-737-1025. Our first two questions. How many goals will Steven Stamkos score this season? A, 25 or fewer, B, 26 to 39, or C, 40 or more? We all say B, 26 through 39. The Predators' power play finished 16th last season at 21.6%. Yes or no? Will it finish in the top 10 this season? Willie and Adam say no. Derek says yes, they better. I put it in quote. I said yes,
better.
In parentheses, quote, they better, period, end quote. So Willie and I say no. Derek says yes. What do you think? 615-737-1025. It is time for Ask D. Mace. Get your calls and texts in. 615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
D. Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
D-Mace. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It's time for Ask D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Get your questions in now, 615-737-1025. I was about to say our phone number is 1025-1063. Don't call that number. No one will answer. someone might, but it won't be us. 615, I didn't do the math. I don't know if that's even the right amount of digits. 615-737-1025. While we wait to get our phone lines loaded up. One piece of hockey-related news to pass along during the break. The Sharks have cut Yaroslav Askarov from training camp, and he has been sent to the American Hockey League.
Willie, you said it once, you said it twice, you said it three times.
Do I need to even take a victory lap here?
Well, no,
I'm just going to say.
Take a victory trot.
I've been telling you. What did Barry Trotz say all summer long? He's not ready. Just because you say you're ready doesn't mean you're ready. Your play will dictate when you're ready. So it's not even me saying it. That's the quote from Barry Trotz that you could have put in a box in May, mm-hmm. June, July, August, and whenever the date was that they actually made the trade. And the Sharks happen to agree. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting?
Hmm.
Now, does that mean he won't play any games in the NHL? No.
But he's not
ready. He was going to play games in the NHL for the Predators. Mm-hmm. So now he is chosen to be the third goalie in the Sharks.
But what did you say
instead of the third goalie for the Predators and they had a plan for him. But that wasn't good for Askarov. No, he wanted to take the fast track. Now he's playing for the Sharks, and he's their third goalie.
He got a little money.
He did get the contract, and that probably was a big part of it.
And I get
it. And he's got the, quote, pathway to be the starter. Mm-hmm. I get that as well.
But right now, he's in Milwaukee.
But the pathway could have gone through Nashville, mm-hmm. and then they could have traded him in a couple years to a team that was probably more ready to win, mm-hmm. and he could have been ready to start when that moment came. That was my plan. That was the Predators' plan. He's chosen his plan. Let's see how it works out. But
Willie, what kind of shoes are you using for your victory lap? I'm just curious.
I got some.
You strapping them on?
What do you call these?
I don't know what you call those things. I just call them the shoe with the O on them.
Yeah, like the little Swiss things. Yeah, okay.
Swiss technology.
The upside down Q or what? Yeah,
K Swiss.
Not K Swiss. K Swiss is good though.
I love K Swiss. Back in the day, yeah. What they have? Five stripes. K Swiss have five stripes.
Yeah, five.
Yeah, yeah.
Adidas has three.
Yep, Adidas has three. Don't get that mixed up now.
What about? I feel like you would have worn some BKs back in the day. You have any British Knights?
British Knights? Nah, BKs. You didn't wear those, man. Something because there was a gang.
Oh,
and you know the BKs. You don't. Yeah.
But I will say one more thing as I take my victory lap to the non-Avengers. Mm-hmm. So D-Mace is with me by my side while I say this. It's kind of like, you know, Captain America and the Iron Man standing
there.
There we go. That there were a lot of people that thought it was a better path to trade UC Saros and have Askarov be the guy. Man. With pick another
Thank
guy,
you,
Lankin and whoever.
Thank you, Barry.
Where would you rather be? Askarov is in the minor leagues. He was not ready. And so it could have been Askarov and pick one, Kevin Lankin, one of the other secondary guys. I like where they're at. Mm-hmm. Today with Saros and Wedgwood, et cetera. I would have loved to have had Askarov be my number three. I absolutely would have loved that. But Askarov wasn't down with that.
He was not down with that indeed. Let's get to our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris has a question for Ask D-Mace. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on, Chris?
Not much. I want your honest opinion. You were in the league for 15 years. You've seen all kinds of quarterbacks come and go. I want your honest opinion on whether you think Will Levis can be that franchise guy, or does he just have these tendencies that he just cannot get rid of?
Thank you for the call, Chris. Honestly, he can play in this league. I do believe that. There's no question about that. But is he a franchise quarterback? That's yet to be seen. And I haven't seen anything consistently that tells me he can be a franchise quarterback. Now, if you just want to have him as your starting quarterback and sort of work around that, yeah, he has tools to be a starting quarterback in this league. But if you're talking about elevating your franchise, getting your franchise to where you want to go ultimately, and that's the Super Bowl, I'm not sure, because he hasn't shown enough consistently. What he's shown consistently is that he's going to keep on making the same mistakes over and over again. And you can't win with a quarterback that's making the same mistakes over and over again, that is not listening to you with the simple things, as simple as get down, protect yourself. If you can't even do that, how do I expect you to lead a billion-dollar franchise to a Super Bowl? I don't. Again, I think he's a good quarterback. I think he can play in this league. But if you're talking Super Bowl, then you better get you some more players around him, because I believe that's the only way that he's going to be able to get the job done. Every quarterback in this league, you know, that's worth starting. If you surround them with enough good players, you can luck up and get into a Super Bowl, or you can luck up and get into an AFC, NFC championship, depending on who you're playing. But if you're talking about elevating the team, him elevating everyone else around them, that's what elite quarterbacks do. That's what Super Bowl winning quarterbacks do, whether it's for that season or that particular playoff run. Joe Flacco did it. He took that franchise in that playoffs. I'm not saying he carried that franchise on his back for the years he was there, but I'm just saying for that specific playoffs, the kid threw 12 touchdowns, no interception. He had one of the best playoff runs in Super Bowl history. He rose, he put that franchise on his back, and he won a Super Bowl. That can happen, but I haven't seen that from Will Levis. I saw it in Joe periodically here and there, and he won enough games to let that franchise know that, okay, if we just surround him with some players, we're good. I haven't seen that with Will Levis. I've seen more mistakes than I've seen him go out there and take over games. He's a quarterback in this league. He could be a starting quarterback in this league, but he's going to have to do more in order for him to elevate this franchise and win a Super Bowl.
Eric, our friend Eric, is also on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm sure with a dad joke and then a question for Derek. Eric, go ahead.
Hey, D-Maze, I'm torn between two, but I think I'll go with this one. Did you hear about the guy that went into a pizza place and he wanted a pizza? And his waiter says, well, what would you like, sir? Would you like it cut into 4 slices or 8 slices? And he says, oh, cut into 4. I couldn't possibly eat 8.
It's the same amount of pizza.
Yeah, basically.
I get jokes. That's a good one.
Oh, man.
Okay, so my question, D-Maze, is this. One of the things I've heard is a lot of people talking about, you know, the Titans and that they get to a point, because I'm hearing them saying that they'll probably trade pieces. And one of the, of course, most popular theories is they're going to trade DeAndre Hopkins somewhere. And a lot of people, I'm hearing the Kansas City Chiefs. But one of the things Ryan Clark was talking about, he was talking about that, and he was also talking about Davante Adams possibly coming to Jets. Not necessarily making for these trades for these top wide receivers. Doesn't necessarily put you over top and get you the Super Bowl. Because he was talking about the fact that you had, of course, Tyreek Hill went to Miami and they haven't won a playoff game. It's put up big numbers. Mm-hmm. He was talking about the fact that I think A.J. Brown, who did get the Eagles the Super Bowl, but they didn't win. He was talking about, of course, Stephon Diggs, who went from Minnesota to Buffalo. And, of course, that happened. And, of course, several others, Terrell Owens, Randy Moss, a lot of these wide receivers, big top wide receivers. And, of course, got Kansas City, who, of course, keeps winning with these just – not really big name players, but they still managed to find ways to win. It's just, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that, because I thought that was kind of interesting, because a lot of times I think it just depends, you know, what about the quarterback? Do you have a good enough quarterback? Mm-hmm. Is your offensive line good? Do you have a good running game? Just the pieces, good ownership, good management. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that, just because I've just, a lot of times people think all we have to do is just get a big-time wide receiver win the Super Bowl, but it's just kind of curious. Mm-hmm. That Ryan Clark mentioned that the fact that a lot of these teams get these top wide receivers, but it just doesn't work out. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it.
Good to talk to you guys. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you.
You as well. You do Thank the same. You, Eric.
Ryan Clark is right, because if you just look at the history of the NFL, there's not many top flight elite wide receivers that have won a Super Bowl that didn't have damn near an elite quarterback throwing them the football. We go down the list. Montana Rice, Super Bowl. Young Rice, Super Bowl. Brady. The only one that didn't win the Super Bowl was Brady and Moss, but they went to a Super Bowl. They didn't win the Super Bowl. They broke a bunch of records, but Tom Brady ended up winning Super Bowls anyway, regardless of Randy Moss. Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, and Reggie Wayne. So just because you have, and we can go down the line with even more, you know, Rich Gannon at one point was an elite quarterback. He had Jerry Rice and Tim Brown, elite wide receivers, Hall of Fame wide receivers, and they still didn't win the Super Bowl. So it's still not going to promise you that you're going to win, but it does give you a better percentage of making it to the Super Bowl. You can't only have a marquee guy at wide receiver. You got to have both, I believe. You got to have a marquee guy at wide receiver, and then you have to have that guy that is either elite or that is going to play elite football, especially in the playoffs. So sending Davante Adams, you know, to the Jets or any place else, it works if you have that quarterback. The Jets believe that Aaron Rodgers still has enough in the tank. Only thing he needs is a Davante Adams to couple with Garrett Wilson. And that may just work. But hell, they hadn't been able to stop anybody on defense, you know? So just bringing Davante Adams may not just be the end all be all and cure the woes of the Jets. That defense is going to have to start playing good well. So whether you get a DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, whether you get a Davante Adams or not, you still have to have that quarterback. That's why when trade rumors come up in regards to the Titans and who they could potentially trade, the asset that I think they will probably get the most is if they trade DeAndre Hopkins. For this reason, if I'm Hop, if you don't win this next game, what is your outlook for the season? Because you're on the last year of your deal. You're getting older. Your numbers will diminish from what they were last year. We see it happening already because of the ineptness of the passing game. You should be wanting to move on to another team that has a better shot at making it to the playoffs, and not just making it to the playoffs, but going to the Super Bowl. So I've said this before, if the Titans don't win this game, if I'm D-Hop, I'm going to my agent, and I'm talking to him like, listen, this is the last year here. I don't want to waste the year here on a bad team. Thank them for signing me, but I want to win a Super Bowl. I want to be in the playoffs. I don't want to spend the last few years of my NFL career on a team that is not going anyplace. So let's facilitate a trade to Kansas City, somewhere where I know that more than likely, not only am I going to get in the playoffs, but I'm going to be in the AFC or NFC championship game as well.
615-737-1025. We'll continue Ask D-May. So if you have any questions for Derek, call us, text us, 615-737-1025. Tune into 1025, 1063, The Game this Saturday at 11 a.m. for our college football game of the week, Missouri versus Texas A&M. I have a lot riding on that game because that was my silly underdog pick. Presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants. Take your tailgate to Twin Peaks, home of 29-degree drafts and wall-to-wall sports. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025, 1063 to The Game. Continuing Ask D-Mace, we've got one more good question here for D-Mace on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Derek, how many stadiums have you played in, and which was your favorite and least favorite? Which crowd was the loudest for you?
Well, beside my two home stadiums here in Nashville, the old Adelphia Stadium. I'm taking it all the way back, Adam. Adelphia Coliseum. And then playing in M&T Bank Stadium. So obviously those two stadiums I will always have fond memories of. A lot of great crowds, especially, you know, that run from 99 to 2004. I mean, the crowds, we always had a packed house. I think it was standing room only half the time. And the waiting list was probably years down the line because we, you know, once we moved into that stadium, we just took off like a rocket and everybody bought into it. And then in M&T Bank, it was, you know, they had already won a championship in 99, 2000 season. So they were always packed out. But beside those two stadiums that I had the pleasure to play in for the bulk of my career, Cleveland was a great place to play for me because Cleveland fans are different. They are diehard. Now, those are some diehard fans there because they have not had much success, but they still show up and they still heckle you. And it's not the heckling that you go back and you're like, man, what is wrong with these? Like, these people, that's just so mean. Like, you don't say that. No, it was heckling that you wanted to heckle them back. And it was just that love-hate thing that you're supposed to have. I love playing in their stadium, Cleveland Stadium. Worst place? Man, gosh, the worst place I played? Houston was bad. Not necessarily because of the crowd. It was just, it felt too big. The stadium felt too big. Detroit was another one, just felt too big. And it felt like their crowd really wasn't into the game. And, you know, frankly, Detroit wasn't winning when we played them. But Houston, I mean, they had good players. But it was just something about that stadium that I just hate playing in. It was hard to catch footballs in that stadium. It was just one of those stadiums. Like, listen, if you took them away, I wouldn't mind not one bit.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Predators conversation. We mentioned some news relating to Yaroslav Askarov earlier. We're going to take a look at the goalie position for the Nashville Predators. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.